I think so often, in this world, especially maybe through the time that we've gone through this pandemic, you know, people have always been, but maybe even more now, thinking about the purpose of their lives. What is the sense of purpose that we have, each of us? And people will look into the world. They'll look just about anywhere to find this sense of purpose. You know, people dabble in different fields of study, try learning new things, taking on new hobbies, hunting for inspiration online, among other things. And last week, you know, we looked at the first five verses of the book of Acts, and we saw that our triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, has a plan for his people and for our church. And remember, the book of Acts, the name Acts, you know, it's actually referring to the Acts of the Apostles, so the ministries of the early church. But we learned last week that it is actually, we can look at it as the Acts of our triune God. And so again, not just the apostles acting, but they're taking an active part in God's plan, our triune God's plan. Working, continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ, but also now through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so today, the title of today's message is kind of a second part, if you will, our triune God's plan. Last week, we talked about the promise, his promises. And this week, we'll talk about his purpose for each one of us. And not just as individuals, but also together as a community of believers. And specifically for us at CCC, our church family, God has a purpose for us. And I hope that we'll grow in that understanding and in that belief. And so let's go ahead and look at Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. When they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Let's pray together. God, your word is powerful. It is living and active. I pray that it would touch our hearts and that each one of us would just grow even deeper in our understanding of you. I pray that you'd be with me as I preach your word, be with our church. Give us your vision, give us your purpose so that we would faithfully live and obey everything that you have for us. And we thank you that you will be the one by your grace who empowers us to be a part of your plan. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we talked a little bit about the purpose that the world is searching for. But as Christian believers, those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ and the God of the universe, guess what? All of us share in a same purpose that's given to us by God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Our triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, working in our lives, has a plan for us, and he wants us to know that there is purpose. Now, I've shared about this man before and this story before, but it's so telling, right? Not all of us are called to be perhaps missionaries overseas, but as we look into this story of this man named Hudson Taylor, he was the missionary and director for a mission group called China Inland Mission, which has done incredible work to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only in China, but really in the world. He recounted several interviews that he had administered to applicants that were wanting to join in part of the mission work that his group was doing. And so one day, with a group of applicants, he just decided to ask this very simple question. He said, "Why do you wish to be a foreign missionary?" And he talked about all the different answers that he received. And all of them sounded pretty good. One said, you know, I want to go because Christ has commanded us. So I want to obey and go and preach to the world, to every creature. Another said, I want to go because millions are dying without knowing Jesus. Some responded, I want to do good with my life. I want to have purpose to just make a positive impact in this world. And I think that this could be one way that I can do that. And to this group of applicants, as each one shared their answers, Hudson Taylor responded frankly and said, all these motives, however good, will fail you in times of testings, trials, tribulations, and even possible death. There is but one motive that will sustain you in trial and testing, namely the love of Jesus Christ. Now we're talking about purpose together today, purpose for us as individuals, but also as a church, and how that is a part of God's grand plan for the world, for its redemption, for the salvation of those who are lost. And so we remember, again, in context, in the first five verses, we remember in verse 3 that it reminds us he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs. And so Jesus appeared to his followers, remember, after his resurrection to prove that he had died, to show them that he indeed had resurrection power by God the Father through the Holy Spirit, and that he was indeed dead, crucified, buried, but rose again. And in this, we see this purpose of sharing the truth and the love of God. And so that really is the purpose that we're going to talk about together today, is that God's plan for his followers is to take this love that has been shown to us, this plan of God that is rooted in his love that he showed ultimately in his death upon the cross. Remember Romans 5:8, that tells us while we were sinners, God died for us. Jesus died for us. And this is the purpose that we must center our lives on. It doesn't matter if we're a doctor, a businessman, a teacher, an engineer, whatever our occupation in this world may be. That is not our ultimate purpose as a church. Our purpose in whatever field we go into, in whatever occupation or career that we have, is to share the love and grace of God. That's his plan. And as we go into the word together, as we look at this passage together, there's three things that we have to remember, that I want us to remember, that are going to help keep us pointed on this purpose of God's plan. And the first thing is this, simply to remember God's purpose. You know, there's so many different purposes, if you will, that we live for. So many different things that we want to live for. But we have to remember God's purpose, his love and grace. Second thing is this, as we live out God's plan as individuals, but especially together as a church, is to remember God's power. God equips us, enables us to be an active part of his plan, something that we can't do on our own. And lastly, remember God's promise. We can't get over this word promise enough. Every single page of scripture, there is the promises of God as he reveals who he is, because he is with us, he is for us, and he has, a plan for salvation, for the redemption of this world. So let's go ahead and start with that first point. Remember God's purpose for us. Before we get into our verses together today, I want to look again one more time at Acts chapter 1, verse 3. This is what it said. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Now, the reason that that's in bold, the kingdom of God, is because we have to remember God's purpose. Jesus, when he comes back, when he is risen, when he is resurrected, he's very purposeful in what he shares, what he teaches, what he makes clear that he wants his followers to know. And so for those 40 days, he speaks about the kingdom of God. Now, this is very significant because Jesus, as he speaks about the kingdom of God, is revealing not only God's plan, but again, the purpose he has for his followers, for us who are the church. And we remember that earlier on, you know, throughout the whole kind of ministry of Jesus, as he shared about the kingdom, the disciples were actually quite on a different track. A lot of them thought about this kingdom and what it would look like. And in fact, one of the reasons that they were so distraught when they witnessed Jesus actually die upon the cross was they couldn't reconcile how Jesus could actually die and still be the king of Israel that would lead Israel to prominence, that would lead Israel to glory, that would lead Israel to power. So they had their own idea about what this kingdom of God would look like. And they had this worldly idea, in a sense, that Jesus would be the physical king of Israel and that would be the kingdom of God. But when Jesus is risen from the grave, is risen from the dead, he talks to them about this kingdom and he teaches that his purpose is far grander, far greater than a geographical location, than one nation. It's about the spiritual Israel, all the followers from all over the world who will come to know Jesus Christ as their king, as their Lord and Savior. And so we see now in verse 6 of our passage together today, this is a question that they asked. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So you see, there's this connection of this idea of kingdom, this idea of Jesus' purpose. They had their own idea of what Jesus being king, the kingdom would look like. They still are under the impression that it's about the restoration of the kingdom to Israel, physical Israel. But again, their perspective, their eyes, if you will, are too narrow. And Jesus is revealing to them there's something far greater going on, that God's plan is unfolding, and that it's not just this kind of kingdom that they have in mind about a physical Israel, but again, not an ethnic Israel, but a spiritual Israel. So what is the kingdom of God? If you look at your screen, the apostles believe that it was Jesus' return and bring the kingdom of God through Israel. But Jesus is teaching that it's far greater and that this is the purpose for the church to take the truth to the ends of the earth. And that's the passage or the verses that we're going to look at next. This is what it says in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So you see the apostles, the followers of Jesus, they had this clashing idea of what this kingdom would look like. And so Jesus is setting it straight, you know, and maybe they were distracted. You know, that's one thing that I ask myself is if I was in their shoes, what are the things that could have clouded my idea about what the kingdom of God really was and what Jesus was talking about all that time during his ministry? And maybe there was some individual pride to be part of a world power, to be part of a prosperous nation. If Israel is the great nation in this world, then I'm a part of that. I get to be a part of that. You know, and maybe there was some part of also ethnic pride. Yes, it's us, Israel. We are the ones who received the scriptures. Yes, indeed, we are the one from the line, right, of Abraham, Moses. But Jesus is essentially rebuking them. He's actually saying to them, no, that's not what it's all about. Remember God's plan. Learn to see God's vision for you, my followers, your purpose. And he's saying, you're missing the point. You're asking the wrong questions. You know, he says, it's not for you to know times and seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. And then he changes it. He pivots. He said, that's not the right question at all. Let's talk about this mission. Let's talk about this purpose that I have for you as my church. Take the message of my love to the world. Now, there are a couple things that I want to mention here and how I believe that this relates to us as a church. Now, on an individual level, I want to ask this question. Are you trusting in God's plan in your life? Are you individually, whatever you're going through, whatever experiences, circumstances, whatever you're in the midst of, even right now, are you trusting in God's plan for your life? You know, I don't know why he does it this way, that He chooses us, imperfect people, people who do get distracted, people who do have the wrong idea, even about some of the things that he promises us and that he teaches to us. But God, I believe, is doing this so that those of us who are imperfect can only point to God when somehow we become a part of his plan. The people's lives around us are touched by his love, by his truth, somehow through imperfect people. So are you trusting in God, his plan for your life? What are your distractions? What are your distractions? Maybe we have our own plan. Maybe we get distracted with worldly purpose, to be the best student, to be the most popular, to have the best job, to make the most money, to be the most successful, to have the best family. And on and on. But remember God's purpose in your life. We can be a part of the living out of our triune God's plan for us. There's nothing greater. There's nothing worth living for more than the plan and purposes of our God. Don't get distracted by the world's purposes. Don't get distracted by anyone who tries to tell you to live for this or for that. Look to the word, look to God who shows us so very clearly. Take the love of God, the truth of God, to the ends of the earth. Remember God's purpose. You have it. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you have the purpose. You've been given the purpose, but we have to remember it because sometimes it's so easy. You know, when you start getting weighed down with questions and stresses and anxieties of life, difficulty in life, and or when you realize that you're failing in different ways, that you're living for your own purposes, turn back to God. Remember his purpose for you, realign your heart, repent, and then ask of him to show you again his purpose. And as you remember that, I promise that you will live a life that is more fulfilling, more joyful, more filled with times of just gratitude to our God. Second thing is this, remember God's power. Remember God's power. Verse 8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So you see, God gives his apostles and the church his plan, and he gives them a purpose to take the news of Christ, the good news that he was the perfect sacrifice, that he lived and that he died, but that he rose again. Take this gospel to the ends of the earth, he says. Now, if he just left us at that to our own devices, to our own power, it would really be an unfair command. Imagine if God had left it at that and said, go now, try your best. Don't make any mistakes or you're going to mess up my plan for the world. Or what if he said, and if you don't obey completely and fully, I'm going to punish you for your failures. And perhaps you might be kicked out of the kingdom. That's not what God says. Remember, it's Jesus talking to them after he has given his life, sacrificed. The perfect sacrifice, one who never sinned, became sin so that we who had sinned will become the righteousness of God. Remember that power, that truth. And so you see, there's this kind of order that we see here. And if you look here, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So there is an order that first we receive the power and then we go and be witnesses to the ends of the earth. You know, sometimes I think we do it backwards, right? I mean, if I live a good enough life, if I kind of show that I can do things, then God will give me power to go and do what he wants me to do. No, you already receive the power for every single one of us that are true believers of Jesus Christ. Remember God's power in your life that is present currently with you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Apart from God, it's an impossible purpose, impossible mission to live out, but with his power first, as we believe in him, No matter how imperfect we may be, of course, we do our best to obey God in every way. We do our best to live for him faithfully. But even in our failures, his grace covers us. We can't take away from the power of God that is in us. So remember that you're connected. Remember that you have God with you. And go and share about our loving God. You know, there's a story of a young missionary named Herbert Jackson who was given a car to help him in his missionary work. Now, this car was a major asset, but it had one difficulty. It would not start without a push or a jump start. And so this young man, Herbert Jackson, this missionary, he devised a system to kind of work around it, you know, to figure out, how can I keep using this car even though it is unable to start unless I have a push or a jump start? So when he was ready to leave his home, he went to a nearby school and asked permission to bring some of the children out of the class to help him push start his car. And throughout the day, whenever his car, you know, when he was ready to park it, he always needed to find the perfect spot that was by a hill, or to leave his engine running when he stopped for short visits, because if you turn it off and he's not by a hill and not parked in the right place, then the car just simply wouldn't start. So for 2 years, this young missionary used what he believed was an ingenious method to enable him to use his car. Finally, when poor health forced the Jackson family to leave the field, a new missionary arrived to lead that mission, to continue on the ministry work. And when Jackson explained quite proudly to this new missionary his methods for using this car that he was now going to pass on to him, that missionary opened the hood and began inspecting. And he said, "Why, Mr. Jackson," he interrupted, "I believe the only trouble is this loose cable." He gave the cable a twist, pushed the switch, and the engine roared to life. For 2 years, Herbert Jackson had used his own devices and endured needless trouble. The power to start the car was there all the time. It only needed to be connected. Now, when I read this story, you know, it kind of, you know, sparked something in me, right? No pun intended. It really made me think about this reality that sometimes it's just about remembering God's power already there with us, but too often we're not connected to that truth with our lives. We know about it. We know it's there, and it is there. It's present. But we have to remember his power, like consciously make the decision to say, "The Holy Spirit is with me. The Holy Spirit is in me. I have the power of God." Not in a prideful way, not in a self-building, but a God-glorifying way, a God-remembering way. Remember his power. How can you stay connected? Remember his power. Rely on his power. Surrender to him. Ask of him in prayer. Go to God with your lives. And in the plan that he has, through his purpose, he will empower us to do what only he can do. And remember that purpose of sharing God's love, that purpose of seeing the world come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We get to be a part of that. What an awesome thing. And I think sometimes, like that, you know, young missionary, we get stuck coming up with our own ingenious models in our minds. This is how I'm going to be a part of God's plan. This is how I'm going to live out the purpose of God. And we rely on ourselves. We get stuck in that, thinking that it's by our power, our ability, our work, that people are going to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. No, remember the power of God. Only he can change a heart, so we rely on him. Stay connected to him. How can we stay connected? We pray. How do we stay connected? We read his word. How do we stay connected? Be with the church in fellowship, in worship, reminders that we are part of the same purpose, the same part of our triune God's plan. And I feel like God is simply telling us Know that you're not alone. Know that I am with you. Trust in my power. And as you live out your faith, you go to work, you go to school, you're at your home with your family, remember God's power, again, is in you and with you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think it's easy to get discouraged. You know, when we talk about taking this faith and seeing people who never knew Jesus Christ coming to know him. And many of us have shared in our fellowship times about family members and friends who do not yet know the Lord. Stay connected to the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Don't stop praying. Every time you get discouraged, remember God's power is in you and he wants to use you in his plan of redemption. Don't stop praying for that friend who does not know the Lord. Don't stop praying for your family member who maybe you've been praying for years and you don't see much change. God is working through your prayers. God is working through your life, through your sharing, explicitly through the gospel, and also just how you're living out your faith. And the same goes for us as a church. How are we making an impact in the community, in the people around us? Remember, God's power is with us. Last thing is this. Remember God's promise. This is verses 9 through 11. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Now, Jesus, again, after reminding the believers of the gospel truth that he suffered, died, and rose again, Jesus, after reminding the believers of God's purpose, our triune God's plan, the power that he gives to us, he now, after all is said and done, ascends into heaven. He's done talking to them and sharing with them and teaching to them and making clear what he wanted to tell them before he returns to heaven. And as Jesus ascends, he gives a promise. There's a promise given to his followers that he will return again someday. Now, those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ, remember that we know that Jesus Christ, in the way that he died and rose again, we are united with him, not only in his death, but in his resurrection. And so we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ when we remember Christmas, right? That he came into the world, into human history, God himself, humbling himself. But we also now look forward to his second coming. Jesus will return one day. We don't know exactly when, but yes, indeed, he will return. And when he returns, he will return in power. But what I want us to focus on is, what is the promise that's given here, that Jesus, who was taken up, will return again, once again, in the same way? So I want us to take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18 together. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep." Verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." So when there's this promise that Jesus is going to return, there's so much within that, but it has everything to do with encouraging his believers, encouraging his church, encouraging us to be a part of the plan of God. Because for every single believer of Jesus Christ, there is this truth: when Jesus Christ returns, there is going to be glory. We're going to be united together with believers, united together with those who have gone before us. So these words should give us hope. As we remember God's promise, we can take part in God's plan, knowing that eternity is secure for us. And we want to share, we want to bring other people into that truth, into that fold of God's people. We want to add to the church of Jesus Christ. I think these words should give us hope, but even more urgency, that for those we know that who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, our friends, our family, our coworkers, even strangers on the street who may not know the Lord, let's be the church that tells of this promise, that tells of the power, that tells of a purpose that this world could never give, could never offer. Now, this promise specifically tells us that in the way Jesus died and rose again from the dead, so too will those who have truly placed their faith in him. I have great hope in God's promise of Christ's return. I think sometimes we don't think enough about that, that we're living kind of just in this idea of this is my life. I have 70, 80, 90 years, however much God gives me, and that's it. And maybe even as Christians, we just kind of stop there. But no, there is eternity set before us, the promise that we will live forever with God, that we will see one another again. You know, and I always, when I see verses like this, you know, I can't help but think of, you know, those we have lost. You know, think of those who we have lost that have gone before us, but if they knew the Lord, we will see them again. You know, I've shared plenty about my dad, who passed away at the age of 48 because of cancer. He lived his life as a pastor. He was a part of God's plan, and he lived for his purpose. And so I can trust, remember the promise of God that I will see him again. We learned just a week ago, a beloved sister in Christ and part of our CCC family, Elizabeth Waltraud Larson, passed away. Young adults in the Mandarin-speaking congregation called her grandma, and we saw her often choreographing the liturgical dances that we'd have at our, you know, across congregational worship services. She lived a life of service to others and to the Lord, and we know that she had a relationship with Jesus. So her, we also know, though she has passed from this world, that we will see her again. That's part of the promise of our God. And so I trust in the promise that Christ will return. And when he does, we will see those who have gone before us, and we will be with God forever in glory. Amen. What is your life's purpose? Our triune God has a plan for us and for our church. What is driving you? What is motivating you? What are you living for? As a church, what are we doing? What is our purpose? What is driving us? I pray that our church would see God's plan, that we would pray and be an active part of it. I believe that we already are doing that now, but even more so, let's go deeper into the word together. Let's go deeper into prayer together. Let's encourage one another in the faith so that we remember these things, God's purpose, his power, and his promise. That is our triune God's plan. And I believe that each one of us has the purpose that God has given as we live out our lives, as our church continues to obey God and live for him, follow him, that to the ends of the earth, people will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's his purpose for us. Don't lose that purpose. Let's live it out together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. How easy it is for us to get distracted. How easy it is for us to forget. But you remind us. You remind us through your word, through brothers and sisters in Christ, through sometimes situations and circumstances that remind us that we can do nothing on our own. That even the most capable person is still in need of something that only you can give us, the power of the Holy Spirit. So help us, Lord, to live out our faith. Help us to be a part of your plan. Empower us through the Holy Spirit. And may we live our lives for you. May many more people come to know you through the work that you are doing in our lives and through our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.